This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Morning again, everyone. It feels like a sprinter with a pulled hamstring, but not much of a voice today. So, Chad Hope, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Every Wednesday night, except for this week because of Christmas, I am joined by former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress for the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. And this week, instead of doing our show on Wednesday night, it was Christmas, Jeff came by yesterday afternoon and we did a discussion about what's going on in area high school basketball and hockey. I thought I would share that with you here in the second hour, especially since I really don't have much of a voice here this morning. So I apologize for that. But it's interesting stuff, and if you're not somebody that's gone out and seen a lot of high school athletics, you're missing out. But here's Jeff Gress and myself talking about what's going on in Wisconsin Valley Conference boys basketball. All right, let's jump in Wisconsin Valley Conference boys basketball. And last week had some big ones in the WVC. Friday night, let's talk about the conference games first, and we'll talk about what the other teams did outside of that as well. But on Friday, it was Marshfield defeating Wausau East, 77-65, big game, obviously. Marshfield went into East and took charge early, 47-27 at halftime. Brooks Hinson showed why he is he's on the cover of the yearbook. He had a massive night, 28 points, 11 of 15 from the field. Landon Lee, 17 points for Marshfield. Jesse Napgesic, 23 points. Jaden Garrett, 15 as well for East. But I think early in the season, we've been looking at this one, the pre-holiday schedule, this would be the big one, and Marshfield put a stake in the ground on Friday night.
Well, yeah, and anytime, I think the big thing for teams in these games, especially these early conference clashes like you have where Marshfield and East are both sitting at the top or trying to vie for the top, is where you get that game at. So for Marshfield, I think it's a big deal. They went into East because as the home team, you always want that game because that's the one you should get because it's in our gym. That's where we practice. And for if you can go get that one, it's tougher to play in front of that opposing crowd, especially one that's so close to Christmas break. You know, kids aren't always thinking of everything that's a priority like your team schedules and – you know, you want to get out of school and be done with that. So I think for Marshfield, it's, you know, they came out in that commanding lead and they're going to get a, you know, a player back to it after in a couple weeks here where I think that's going to also just help propel them. So, and they're going to chat, we'll talk about it in the upcoming parts of the podcast here, but they're going to go out and challenge themselves in Orlando too a little bit.
So yeah.
I thought for Marshfield, a big win and you got some numbers out of the players that you saw on both sides. And for East, you know, a 7-1 isn't a shabby start before the Christmas break either. That's a nice win. But you got these conference games that dual fighting that you want to get is has to come about.
The thing about Marshfield, and we often talk about the way the schedule kind of lays out, and you talk about because you've been around it for such a long time, and you had some input on how your schedule goes. They haven't played a lot. That was only their fifth game, and they've been a little up and down. They're 3-2 overall, but now 2-0 in the WVC. The games where they needed to step up against DC Everest on the road and on the road against Wausau East, they've done it. What's your take on their schedule early? Do you think it's something that is really setting up now that they got those two road wins in the conference against a couple of teams that were expected to be in the top half? I mean, it looks like it's setting up pretty nicely as they get more busy. And as you said, coming up here down in Florida, getting challenged by teams from outside Wisconsin, but they're still the team to beat, aren't they?
Well, I think you've had, we talked about that the Valley Boys Conference is tough this year. It's got a lot of good players back. It's top to bottom. There's some teams that can beat up on each other and teams vying for that top spot. So I think for Marshfield, being in the driver's seat is what you want. You went and got one at Everest. You went and got one against East, which is off to a great start at 7-1 and a tough team. And between Nibgezik and Garrett and Kaylee, those guys, you're going to get the fight out of them on a given night. So I think Marshfield has to be feeling really good, as much as also those losses that they are taking, they're being challenged in their non-conference schedule. I mean, it's not you got to feel you're pretty good if you're going to, we're going to go take it. It's not about a trip to Orlando. It's about playing some other teams that are way outside the area to challenge yourself. So, I think anytime you can go on the road and the conference throws at you what it throws at you to start, but that's a big game on Friday. And for Marshfield, be sitting in the driver's seat, that's good. For East, though, too, they've done an outstanding job, too. And to have that one loss, you're going to look at it, you're going to learn from it, and you're going to keep fighting for the type of team that they are. They're going to be hanging around yet, because they're going to get they're going to continue to get the W's that they need to get. So they're going to be up there still, and they can learn from this game and figure what they got to do the next time they see Marshfield to knock them off.
I thought this next score was a misprint when I saw it, because I wasn't there Friday night
at the
field house.
I was
going to
ask if you knew anything about it. But
No. Go ahead. Wausau West beat Rapids 60-12. I watched the video of it on the weekend, and that was the score, 60-12. And Wausau West is for real. I mean, we've talked about their 5-1 overall. Now they're 2-0 in the WVC. They had a really good week with the win against Medford and then the win against Rapids. And like Marshfield, they're going to be at the same event down in Florida this weekend. And again, it's a team that has really come together nicely. They got experience. They got guys who play really well together. It looks like a really good chemistry with that group. And to do what they did against Rapids was really impressive.
Yeah, I had you had to blink your eyes a couple times to make sure that score was right, because that's pretty lopsided for how competitive I feel the Valley is on any given night. But you look at Rapids, they're struggling right now. They're 0-6, and obviously 0-1 after that loss to West in the conference. But for West, you talked about it early on when we discussed some of the teams and games and players coming up, and just said, watch them. They're gonna be solidified in this conference because of how hard they play defense, the intensity and the physicality they bring on a given night. And they might not be big, but the key players in there, Mattson and Lang are gonna get their numbers, and they're gonna propel that team along with the solid nucleus they have. And it's showing. They're off to a 5-1 start, 2-0 in the conference, and a very competitive, strong group that's gonna want to be in the thick of things, in the mix of things. And I like that they're too going out and challenging themselves and not being dormant over Christmas. That's a good thing.
DC Everest fell to Stevens Point 62-51. Grant Chandonat 21 for Stevens Point. Cade Felch 20. Xavier Edwards 18 for the Evergreens. But that was we talked about last week. Both teams had lost their conference opener. Both teams wanted to be 1-1 in the conference and not 0-2. And Stevens Point was able to take care of business. They then played Saturday as well and lost to Fort Atkinson 55-46. But it's been a bit of an up and down season for both those squads so far. And like Marshfield, I think Stevens Point's going to get a little bit of talent very, very soon.
Yeah, it's funny watching these teams kind of develop and slide into their spot in the conference, yet players are coming and going based on injury, sicknesses, or they're coming back based on
eligibility.
Yeah, eligibility and things that they've had to fight through to become eligible. So I think for Spash, with Aoi coming back, that's going to change the makeup a little bit. The team's just going to give him another weapon to make him a little more dangerous. That's we talk about these teams that are hanging around looking for that conference win, and Spash took care of business with a 62-51 win over Everest. For Everest, I think it's a, you know, they have some injuries that we've talked about already, but I think they're still getting production where they're staying in a competitive realm.
But which, Cohen Priebe's so important in everything that they do.
He did that.
I mean, some losses are bigger than others.
Yeah, that floor general spot, that assistant coach out on the court, type of guy that
so
he is.
So much experience.
Yeah, that's you need that. And that's only going to help him when he is. I take it. Is he coming back? We don't know. So if he can come back, that's only going to help him. But I do like the fact that they're staying competitive, and Felch and Studeman Edwards, they're getting some double-digit scoring out of that, and hopefully can carry them through to stay in a good spot to be in the mix of those things. So forever, you know, fighting through some things, looking to get that first conference win yet. But for Spash, that I have one of the guys I coach with on my son's team, Fort Atkins graduate, said they're a pretty good, solid team down in that Badger Conference. So for Everest, or for Spash to go down there and lose, well, that's a good, you know, a good game for them to fight through to have a good non-conference opponent when they go on the road like that.
And Merrill was not the team that played a conference game on Friday. They were in action Thursday, and my game was postponed because we had the snow on Thursday. So I actually watched Merrill and Medford, and I had seen Medford earlier in the week, and Medford came out, and they were just draining three-pointer after three-pointer. They took a double-digit lead. I thought it was going to be a blowout, but Merrill really did a nice job. They came back, and they won that one 71-63. E.J. Wykes had 18 points. Corey Page, who just returned, and he looked like he was never gone, 17 points. Tyson Ott, 15. Jacob Smelcher, 12 for Merrill. I was impressed. I really thought at Medford, the way that game started, they were going to win that basketball game, but then Merrill came back, and that's a really significant win because, again, I haven't got the brackets in front of me, but very often those teams are in the same part of the bracket.
Yeah, and you like to have that bragging right and that way to notch your team up a little bit higher in your seedings, because coaches pinmark those games that are big games along the way for just their understanding of what their teams have to get done. I thought for East that was a nice win, for Merrill, that was a nice win against Medford because, you know, it's that battle across 64. It happens. Those teams are kind of tight even though they're in different conferences. And I thought, you know, Medford's always well-coached. They have a great tradition, track record over the years of being one of the forces in the GNC.
And they are in the same bracket.
Yeah.
So I brought it up.
Good call. Yeah. So I think that win for the Blue Jays was a good one. And I think, you know, we talk about Wyke so much as being the major guy, and to have Page back and put some extra, it just gives you another weapon. When you got two guys doing things on the court, it's dangerous to defend, and especially when you can combat a solid start. Sometimes it's hard to come back when you're doing everything in your power and you're like, I think we got hands up. I'm getting guys out there, and they're still hitting them in our face. And to get back and bounce back and get control of that game and take the lead and win the game ultimately is a good win for Merrill.
And we'll come back with more with Jeff Gress after a quick timeout. Chad Holmschulp, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmschulp, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Boy, it's been a rough week for me. I've been battling this Christmas week cold. And, so here in the final hour, listening to a conversation I had yesterday afternoon with my big high school sports show co-host Jeff Gress talking about what's going on in area high school basketball and hockey. So just to save my voice a little bit, let's go back to our conversation talking about boys basketball, starting with the Great Northern Conference. Great Northern Conference, and looks like Mosinee, very, very strong. 82-55 Friday over Antigo. It was basically over at the half, 47-24. Braden Reinke at 21 points and 12 boards. Treve Stoffel, 12 for Mosinee. And then you got Rhinelander, who's looking really, really good as well. They have been not only winning, but they have been just dominant. 76-22, and I'm a little bit surprised. Lakeland have been struggling a little bit, but they defeated Pines 51-46 on Friday night. And again, I think Mosinee's looking very, very good, but that Rhinelander team is really looking good. I mean, they have been dominant so far this season.
Yeah, I thought just Rhinelander's scores, like you said, are they're. I mean, some of the teams they should be beating by that much, but they're consistent. You know, they're 3-0 in the conference and 6-0 overall. And I think the point production out of Feck and Lamers are, you know, they're both at about 16 a game. So that again gives you that dual threat scoring opportunities. And you know, Coach Lemons has been up there a long time working with that school system and that program, and just gets a lot out of his team. Sometimes even when we think that they're going to be in the middle of the pack, they're the sleeper team. They'll sneak up on you. They'll get one because they're well coached. For Mosinee, you know, taking care of business again, keeping at bay the middle of the pack in Antigo and stuff, and showing that they go out and own that spot in the conference. And they want to be in the thick of things because that's what they're used to, being up on top of there. And I thought, like you mentioned, the Lakeland game, I saw that score where they won 51-46 over Pines, and that was a good win because we saw Pines early on in the West tournament and thought that they're a team that can kind of shift around in there based on the talent that they have, and that they were up a little bit from last year. So I think for Lakeland, you know, a nice win over that Pines team that looked solid in the early part of the Thanksgiving tournament.
We're going to find out a lot about Rhinelander in the next 3 weeks or so. They are participating at the Wisconsin Dells tournament, and that's always a challenge. You were there a few years.
Yeah, it's just a different style of ball.
Right.
When playing,
so you go down there, and yep. they play Ripon tomorrow and Wisconsin Dells on Saturday. And then next Friday, they go to Wausau East, another matchup that involves teams in that very same bracket. If you look at that bracket, it really is competitive. You have Rhinelander in that bracket. You have Wausau East in that bracket. You have Merrill in that bracket. You have Medford in that bracket. Lakeland's always a solid program in that bracket. Menominee's in that bracket. You got then teams from the West, New Richmond and Rice Lake in the bracket. I mean, that's a very good Division II bracket, and these games mean a lot. You don't want to, if you're Rhinelander, you don't want to go twice to Wausau East. You'd love to win the first time and then maybe make them come up north in the playoffs.
Yeah, and same thing on East thinking, too. They want to, if they have to play them, they want to bring them down to their gym. So I think that'll be a good game because both those teams have a scoring punch to them. They have coaches that have done this for a while. They've had this matchup where it's kind of been a rivalry. Rhinelander and East have been playing each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, and then it's got the playoff implications. So I just think a lot's there. That'll be a cool game to see because I imagine Rhinelander, you know, East obviously has the punch in those three guys that in Kaylee Garrett and Nib Gezik that are going to bring it to the table. But, you know, Rhinelander likes to get up and down the floor, and they like to shoot around and hang out around that arc, and that can be a game changer. So I think that'll be an interesting score to watch as that game takes place after teams get done with their Christmas mm-hmm. tournaments.
Merrillwood South, and there was quite a week. We talked about last week. This was a conference that had two games here in the run-up to Christmas, and with games on Friday and then again on Monday, and talked about how it was possible for teams to go 2-0 and maybe even going 2-0. And I think the team that kind of made the leap was Marathon. Marathon went on the road on Friday, rolled past Pneuma Catholic 67-44. Cody Radke 13, True Thurs and Sawyer Barons 12. Drew Wolfel 10 for Marathon. Quincy Fender 22 for Newman in that game. And then on Monday, they defeated Assumption. Assumption had the big upset win on Friday, winning over Auburndale 48-40. But then Marathon defeated Assumption Monday 67-54. And again, you see Marathon early. They had lost so much production due to graduation. They lose by 40 points to Wausau East. They struggle to win against Shawamigan. They have a loss at home against Rib Lake. You're thinking, oh, this may be the year that somebody can go out there and get Marathon. And those were two big wins, and it shows again that Coach Jacobson knows what he's doing in terms of building up that team, and I think they're going to be a team that gets better and better.
Yeah, marathon's always, I think, scary in that sense over the years when I had a coach. They're never out. It doesn't matter what the talent pool, the ability level is, what type of team they are, what they've lost to graduation. There's just a rich tradition. Those kids are, and those coaches are very prideful in what they put out on the court. The thing that stood out for me, I mean, I obviously have scorekeeping, so I try to, as you are now, it's hard. It's always hard to read the game and see every little thing, but just the discipline with marathon. You mentioned that maybe Coach Jacobson wants to cut down on some turnovers, but when I watch that team, I watch a team that very strong in the pass. The body language shows me that it's very intent and fundamentally sound in the direction they want the ball to go. It's a level of discipline that, you know, not every team always carries, and I think that you could see that in not only their decision making, but also in the how sound they tried to move the ball and intentional it was, and I think there's room for it's going to be nonstop growth and improvement with them, because you've got some guys that have always been key cogs and Wolfel and Thurs, and the other guys around them just want to step up and pick up the slack for what they've lost to graduation. That I think it's just that transition of more leadership, more growth, more guys filling in the gaps, and they're going to get it down because they're well coached, and there's that staff is so intent on putting the best product out there, as are the players. The score was 67-44 with Newman, but you could see they weren't satisfied. They want to always play to perfection. And I think that's a big deal. And I think Marathon's sitting in a really good spot. Two good wins with Newman and Assumption there.
And you got Marathon, Auburndale, and Stratford all 4-1 in the conference. Both Auburndale and Stratford are 6-1 overall. We have to take a break, but we'll come back and hear about what's happening in girls basketball and hockey with Jeff Gress coming up. Information update is straight ahead. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Fighting through a nasty cold here this morning. So bringing you a conversation I had late yesterday afternoon with my big high school sports show co-host, Jeff Gress. And this week we did not have a show, so we did a podcast yesterday afternoon talking about what's going on in high school basketball and hockey. And here's more of that conversation I had with the former Newman Catholic High School head boys basketball coach. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes, and now time to talk about girls basketball. Let's start with the Wisconsin Valley Conference, and no surprises. I bet there was one interesting game. Actually, I thought the most interesting game was the game between Wausau West and Wisconsin Rapids. We mentioned that when you look at this league, those are the games you got to get.
Yep.
And Wausau West went on the road, and they beat Rapids 60-56. All of a sudden, they're 2-1 in the conference. It's been not an easy start for Wausau West, but they found a way to win on the road against Rapids. Get their second win overall on the season. Also, the other games, not really, you know, competitive, and I don't think we're surprised. Marshfield over Wausau East, 74-17. Stevens Point beat Everest. Everest has been competitive this year. I think, taken some big steps, but Stevens Point's got too much right now, 56-22. And Merrill struggled in a non-conference loss against Pittsville, 60-38. But anything that jumps out in terms of the Valley on the girls' side?
No, I mean, we talked about kind of a, I don't know, must win isn't always the right way to say it, but you want to win that.
When you look at the schedule of the conference games, those are ones that you kind of circle, right?
And a game that, you know, you wanted to get back. I mean, just with that win, they get back in the thick of things at the top of the conference.
Puts them in the pole position for third, I mean, right now.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of games you have to have. So, and to go over there and do it, it looked like it was a tight one with a 60-56 final score. So good for West to kind of get back in the thick of things a little bit just based on that one game. Marshfield did what they should with East with East trying to rebuild a little bit. And, you know, Merrill stepped out of the conference, and Pittsville's been a good team the last couple of years.
Yes, they have.
You know,
Merrill's been a little bit of up and down.
Yeah.
More than some of the other teams, I think.
Yeah.
I think that you've seen the teams that have been up and you've seen the teams that have been down, and there in the middle has been Merrill up and down, and I'm not sure what to make of them quite yet.
Yeah, but I get, you know, for me, if it's that, you know, I know Pittsville's good, a little tougher score than you probably want at the end of the day that, you know, Coach DeBoer would want for his girls to finish out with. But still in the thick of things in the middle of that conference when they jump back after Christmas break and start getting into that conference schedule a little thicker. And for Everest, I, you know, like you said, Spash is a really good team in that conference. Soibert is a monster with the amount of scoring she
does. She is really fun to watch. I remember her as a freshman last year watching her play. And it's just, you know, you like the kids that, whether it's girls or the boys, that you watch them and you just see that the way they move, the way that they see the game, that they just really know the game, and she's one of those.
She stands out. So you know, a tough draw for Everest at that point. But again, looking, you know, other games that they've had have been competitive, and they're looking to kind of get out. You know, as Coach Bullis said early in the season, we want to get out of that bottom set, and this way of thinking.
Right.
And so, and you're seeing that transition. It'll still be a building process that gets the better teams in that conference.
Well, the problem is, again, they just don't have the firepower offensively. So they're playing, they played a number of really low scoring games. They took Marshfield to a tight game, and they're low scoring, but when you have a team like Stevens Point that has that ability to put the ball in the hole, it's just hard to keep up sometimes. And when you feel the need to score, then it gets even harder for a team that at times struggles offensively.
And I'm still, and I, in looking, you know, for Marshfield, that's still a team I'm trying to see where they stand.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard to tell right now.
It's just they're 4-2 overall. They're obviously won all their three of their conference games, but they host their own tournament. It'll be interesting to see how they do.
Well, that's the one that's been going on forever.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do against some of those teams in different areas of the state that they always have wars against anyway. We get the playoff time,
and they always play a team from the west, and they play a team from the east, and west comes there as well to play the same teams coming up.
It'll be interesting to see where the Valley holds up against those teams.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, I think, more along the lines of where Marshfield does, to be honest with you, because Hudson usually is pretty solid, and Oshkosh West is usually pretty solid. Yep. So, GNC, Lakeland beat Pines 83-33 Friday. Christina Womet had 49 points, 10 of 17 on three-point field goals, and massive numbers again. Mosin A beat Antigo 75-23. Peyton Jerschley 18. Taylen Jerschley 14. And Rhinelander continues to be right there. Sometimes you think about Lakeland and Mosin A, but Rhinelander, like the boys, the girls are doing very well. They're 7-1 overall, 4-0 in the conference. Beat Tomahawk 67-31, and they always have kids that can put it in the hole. Auburn Clark 29, Vivian Lamers 18. So you got Lakeland and Rhinelander 4-0 in the conference. Lakeland 7-2, Rhinelander 7-1. You got Mosinee and Tomahawk are 2-1, 6-1 for Mosinee, Tomahawk 4-3. Then you have Medford, Pines, and Antigo all winless in the conference. But I guess, you know, you're never amazed anymore because she does it all the time. But Womet's numbers, especially when you see somebody that's able to get double-digit three-point field goals, just amazing.
I was just going to say, when's the last time you've seen a kid either side, boys or girls, hit double-digit threes? It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen very often, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah, in my coaching tenure, I had one kid. He had 10 threes, 30 points, and that was it. He hit 10 threes in that game. I can't remember how he took, but he got it. But what I'm saying is it's pretty rare.
Apparently he wasn't going to the hole, was he?
No.
Not getting fouled.
I wouldn't either, though, if I'm trading threes for twos. But anyways, she 10 of 17 is outstanding from the three-point line. This those numbers, because it's not you're not overshooting to get that. You probably took 17 quality shots back there. So if she continues to be a tough guard as her team continues to do well. So, you know, not surprised at any of those scores. They should beat Northern Pines. Rhinelander should beat Tomahawk. Mosinee should beat Antigo based on where those teams are situated in that conference. And all three of those teams still trying to hold their spots and do their job. You know, Rhinelander's getting production out of Clark. I think she a sophomore this year or is she a junior? I can't remember.
Oh, but that's a good question.
But she's still not done there, so she's still got time.
Well,
averaging only 20 points a game for Rhinelander, and Mosney's getting production from the Jerschley family again with those double digits, and all vying for those spots we talked about. You know, Lakeland's going to be up there. They're probably a little bit of a step ahead of everybody, and Rhinelander, Mosney vying.
Yeah, just a sophomore.
Yeah, and Robert. Rhinelander and Mosney vying to sneak up and take one, and yet a very – and Mosney's only loss is to Lakeland early in the season. It's one of those conference games that come up to battle for the top.
And Lamers is only a junior, so those Bengals, yeah. Two big scores for the Hodags. They're both young, and it'll be curious to see when they do play either Mosinee or Lakeland to see where they kind of fit within this conference, because we saw Mosinee go to Minocqua, give it a great battle before falling short, but now we'll have to wait and see whether Rhinelander can do the same. They will host Lakeland coming up on January the 10th and then host Mosinee on January the 14th. So they get both those teams the first time around in Rhinelander, and then they'll face both those teams to wrap up the regular season on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be the battle for the top with that. And Lakeland's already done one up where they got Mosinee one time early on in the season. So I think interesting to see how that'll play out.
Exactly. So Merriwood South on the girls' side, not a lot of action. Just one conference game. Stratford beat Newman 62-23. There was supposed to be the game we talked with Coach Schneider about when they were going to face Assumption, but that game got postponed due to the weather. So when you look at that was the only conference game in the past week. You got Stratford 6-0, 8-0 again. They're kind of under the radar because people are talking about Assumption and they're doing what they're expected to do. 7-0, 5-0, and then we talked about Marathon last week with Coach Schneider. 6-1, 4-1. Auburndale always solid, 3-2 in the conference, 6-2, and then you got Newman at 1-5 in the conference, 1-7, and Edgar 3-6 overall, but 0-5 in the conference. Edgar, in fact, beat Spencer Monday 66-53, and Auburndale over Adams Friendship 54-45. But as you look forward again, I mean, Stratford has been I don't know if you call it a surprise, but they've always been pretty solid, but they've really taken a step forward so far this year.
Yeah, and they're hanging around, you know, a nice couple wins that they've had. You know, they're unblemished in the conference, so some nice conference wins so far. They haven't had the crossover match between the heavy hitters, between them and Assumption yet, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because both those teams are perfect out of conference and perfect in conference.
Well, the thing about Stratford that jumped out was when they beat Auburndale by 20. Because Auburndale is always solid. They handed Marathon their only loss so far. They went on the road and beat Edgar by 19. I know Edgar's been struggling a little bit, but they have just been pretty dominant every game. They have the closest game was the 10-point game against Marathon back in November, and then they will be playing Bonduelle in a non-conference game coming up a week from Friday, next Friday. So that will be a great test for them out of conference. And then the following game, they'll host Assumption in the first major showdown in the conference. So I think the Stratford team has got I think that's a good setup to play Bonduelle before Assumption.
And I think Assumption, unless I wrote this down wrong, if you want to check, Assumption, I think, plays Bonduelle.
They do.
Friday, right?
They do.
Just in a game at their place that's just non-conference. So it'll be
Friday,
interesting to see, because you'll have a little bit of a benchmark to judge these teams based on scores rolling. Yes. But, you know, Stratford's been a couple things over the year. They've obviously kept scores in check where they can play defense. And they've been based on the size of their team, they've been a taller team generally. So it'll be interesting to see how that makeup goes with Assumption, who's been structured at, you know, that team that throws the press at you. They've got a number of players that are athletic and can score in different ways and hurt you that way. So I think this will be an interesting matchup to see who takes control of this conference. And Marathon, you know, hanging around and playing well and off to a good start. That's why I was kind of disappointed that the weather postponed some of these games, because I would have loved to see where Marathon stood against Assumption just to kind of give us a benchmark where things are at. But I think overall, interesting way to see how things play out. And that was interesting to see that, you know, Newman and Stratford were able to move that game to Friday and still have the game. Other teams had to postpone and move it around based on their schedule. So makes it a little different as to how teams are fulfilling those postponements.
And Stratford has a really tall Emily Zolke. She's 6'3", just a junior. She's one of their top performers. They got another 6-footer in Tria Tubbs, who's also one of their top performers, who's a junior. Their leading scorer, Laney Pankratz, is a guard, 5'5". So you got the guard who's able to put up the 13 points per game. The other two, high single figures. So, again, that balance. And when you have, we've seen it. I mean, for so many years, Newman would have multiple six-footers, and that is just hard to deal with on the girls' side.
Guard. Yeah, especially tough guard down in that post area.
Merriwood Conference North. And, again, the Rib Lake squad had started to make a little noise, but they ran into Prentice on Friday, and they lost to Prentice by a score of 49-41. Again, not a lot of action because of the weather, but Thursday, Phillips beat Ladysmith in a non-conference game 59-34. But that Prentice-Rib Lake game was significant because, again, it looks like Rib Lake is trying to work their way into the conversation when it comes to that conference. I'm trying to pull up the standings here really quickly. I should have just paused
it. You want me to try?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, double check it just to make sure. But I think they're, so you got a nice war going on between the top three teams with Prentice, Rib Lake, and Phillips. I think Prentice is...
They all lost twice.
Yeah, Prentice and Rib Lake are standing on top at 4-2. Phillips is 3-2, and after that, you'd have to go.
Yeah, and that Prentice win was significant because Rib Lake could have had all by themselves. Yeah. Exactly right.
But, and they did it at Rib Lake, which is
never
49-41, never an easy place to play.
And CWC East, Whitburn, who's been so very good, it did not play, but Bonduelle continues their role. They beat Shiocton Friday, 54-39. Audrey Wire, 16 for Bonduelle. But again, when we see Whitburn and Bonduelle face off, that will be truly the game. Both those teams are already two games ahead of everybody else. We talked about this last week, but now Bonduelle, instead of 4-0, is 5-0 in the conference, while Whitburn is still 4-0. And then you got a bunch of teams at 2-2, 2-3, and the like. But again, it's really setting up to be some fantastic games between Bonduelle and Whitburn.
And we'll see how that plays out because we saw Bonduelle's taking on Assumption over break.
Yeah.
And if I look at Wittenberg, they haven't played since they beat DC Everest on December 16th. Not sure if there was a postponement in there for them.
Yeah, they're playing Monday at Marinette.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's a long
That is a long gap.
Break. And I don't know if they must have the Bonduelle game.
When is the Bonduelle game?
That's got to roll around pretty quick.
I know because they've all. Because
they usually play ahead of the boys, which is January 7th. So is that game coming right off break? Is that the second or the third?
Let's take a look here.
That's my guess. Second or third?
The 14th.
Okay, that's a bad guess then.
Yep, Bonduelle will be at Whitburn on the 14th. And Whitburn, after they play Marinette on Monday, they got some pretty good non-conference opponents. They have Crandon and Mosinee.
So they'll get some games to be back. They'll be back in the swing of things, even if that dormant period.
Exactly. And then they return to conference with Iola before Bonduelle. So I think they got it set up pretty well. And we will come back with a little talk about hockey before we wrap things up. Again, apologize for the voice this morning, but boy, I was glad that Jeff Gress came by yesterday to talk to me and give you some interesting information. So we'll be right back here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Again, here this morning, been fighting a nasty, nasty cold. So bringing back a conversation I had last night with Jeff Gress, my co-host on the Big High School Sports Show, getting you up to speed on what's going on in basketball. And now we're going to talk a little bit of hockey because doggone it, even for a podcast.
I'm just going to check my text message. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
On the boys' side, Wisconsin Valley Conference, Stevens Point remains the number one ranked team in the state and the only undefeated now in the WVC on Friday. They beat DC Everest 3-0. Big edge in shots for Spash, 37-9. But again, Griffin Bunnell, very good between the pipes for the Evergreens. 34 saves. Jerome Poirier, Bo Schrader, and Jackson Schrader had goals for Stevens Point. In that game, I would say that DC Everest shows why I think a lot of teams would not want to deal with them in a playoff because they got such good goaltending. You can have a night where you get outshot 3-1, you get outshot 4-1, you still have a chance to win. And they do have a few players that are capable of lighting the lamp. I mean, on Saturday, they lost 3-2 to Onalaska. Thomas Passanoe, he's had a very good season for DC Everest. Cole Vance, like, also, again, those are the two consistencies for DCE, lighting the lamp. But they've had a little struggle scoring in recent games, and I think that's something that they're going to have to try to improve, get a little bit more rubber on net for them to take that step to challenge Stevens Point, to challenge Wausau West in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. Stevens Point then on Saturday came right back and took on Eau Claire Memorial, the sixth-ranked team in the state. and the Panthers beat ECM 6-5. It was a game at Stevens Point. A couple of times had three goal leads, but Memorial came back twice. Grady Miller had two goals for Stevens Point. 37-22 edge and shots. Again, I watched that game, and it did not feel like Stevens Point was ever in trouble. I mean, sometimes you see scores where even if it's a tight game, well, it never felt like they were in trouble. In fact, the fifth goal for Memorial came with like a couple of seconds left. So it made it a little closer, I think, than the final score would indicate. Wisconsin Rapids Saturday lost to Eau Claire North in overtime 2-1. Ryan Dietz had a power play goal in the first period for Rapids, but they had no other goals in that game. Noah Peterson kept them in it with 30 saves before North was able to win in OT. And these hockey teams are also part of major tournaments. In fact, I'll be doing games with Wausau West over in Green Bay Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They take on the defending Division II state champs, St. Mary Springs of Fond du Lac, on Friday. They take on the two-time defending Division I state champions, Notre Dame Academy, on Saturday. And then they take on an always powerful Verona team on Sunday. So it's three really good tests for Wausau West, back-to-back-to-back days. Stevens Point is in a tournament over in Neenah. They're also challenging themselves today, starting off as we recorded this podcast against University School of Milwaukee. East Merrill United is playing three games in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Wapaka, taking on the Comets on Friday, meeting Black River Falls on Saturday and Green Bay United on Sunday. So just like the basketball boys and girls, the hockey guys are, and the girls, as I'll talk about in a moment, are off in these tournaments.
Again, a big deal, I think. You know, practice again can get you better, but I just think you need to challenge yourself and run into somebody else that's not in the same color jersey as you.
I tell you, Wes has no breathers in three games. Well, I tell you,
I was going to ask how big a deal is that when you know they got Wes is obviously a good program and they're going to play. It's the Division II state champions. Is that a big deal from division like that,
well,
for West, or is that still going to be a challenge?
This is still a challenge, and St. Mary Springs is a very good program. I think they're 8-1 this year. They're Division I this year because of the success ratio.
Oh, gotcha. So they jumped up. So it is really kind of a null and void point,
right?
Because it's D1 versus D1.
But they're still the champs.
Gotcha.
And they play the champs on Friday, and they play the champs on Saturday.
How difficult is it to play three hockey games in a row? I mean, I can back-to-back basketball games isn't easy.
Three is not easy. I mean, physical hockey is a very physical game.
Right.
I mean, it can really catch up to you by the time you get to the end of the weekend. So
are those other teams doing the same thing?
They're all doing the same
thing. So when they play Verona, they will have the same, that will be their third game into. So it evens it a little bit.
It certainly does.
But I think it's a good thing to push your team through and develop that mental toughness.
Exactly. And on the girls' side, the Central Wisconsin Storm continues to play very, very well. They won Friday and Saturday on the road. They beat Triple Falls Menominee Friday 5-0. Came out very fast with four goals in the first period. Sophie Boleen had two goals. Gabby Heiser, Ava Rohde, and Malia Barigi had goals as well. Cammie Floor had 20 saves. And then Saturday, I went over to Eau Claire and saw the Storm again look very, very good, defeating the ECA Stars 8-1. Jaden Yurkowski had a hat trick. Gabby Heiser, two goals and three assists for the Storm. And they are likewise playing three games in 3 days. In fact, as we record, when I get done, I'm going to see how they did. In fact, maybe they put it up already because they should be wrapping up just about now in Madison, taking on the Lakeshore Lightning, and then they play again Friday, and they play again Saturday. This is an actual tournament where they have brackets. So Wausau West, they used to be a tournament, but now it's easier just to schedule everybody,
right,
all these eight teams. But so, again, the Storm have a chance to continue their very impressive ways. Again, I've been very, very impressed up to this point with what I've seen from the Central Wisconsin Storm, and continue to be ranked number 2 in the state. But I think I would not bet against them in any game right now.
How difficult it is when you got – how many teams are in that tournament, do you know?
Eight teams, three-day event.
Is it all good from 1 through 8? Tough?
Superior's in there, and they're, I think, third in the state. St. Croix Valley, who is always very good. Storm beat them a couple
weeks
ago.
That's what I'm asking. Has the Storm played any of these teams?
Yeah, they played them already. So it's a solid tournament. It's not, I think, as deep as it could be, but it's still a very solid tournament. And the Central Wisconsin Storm was –
victorious yesterday. Another shutout win over the Lakeshore Lightning. They'll continue their tournament play coming up at Madison in their semifinals later on today. And don't forget, I'm going to try to get this voice into shape and bring you Wausau West hockey today, 12:20 against St. Mary Springs from the showdown in Titletown. Again, 12:20 for the pregame, and we will be having the opening faceoff at 12:30. Thanks for your patience here today. I know it gave it my best here, but thank you very much for joining us. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.